Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Put it together for Wednesday. Cooler temperatures. Cold front has moved through, but it's brought the rain showers. We'll take it, though. We've also got Howard Griffith coming up. We've got Chris Beard, Texas basketball coach. So a busy hour. This hour also includes your salacious gossip and your blitz. But before we talk to Bucky's favorite running back of all time, I believe. Is he your favorite of all time? He's like your kids. You can't pick all favorites, but...
Yeah, he's my favorite.
Before we talk to Howard from the Big Ten Network, can we get a quick check of the headlines, trending topics to start the 8 o'clock hour? Top Gun, Law and Quinn Reynolds bring you the news. And yes, World Series Game 1, Braves got the jump on the Astros in the game and literally. How about the first batter of the game? Third pitch of the game. The designated hitter, Jorge Soler, belted a home run to start the ball game. That was a part of a two-run first inning. The Braves added another run in the second, two more in the third on an Adam Duvall two-run homer. As Framber Valdez, the Astros starter, struggled mightily last night with his command. He allowed five runs, eight hits, and just two innings of work. They get the 6-2 victory there in Game 1. Game 2 is tonight. Houston will hand the ball to the right-hander Jose Urquidy. Atlanta counters with the lefty Max Fried. Not all good news for the Braves. They took the Game 1, but they also lost their Game 1 starter, Charlie Morton. He's going to miss the remainder of the series after he suffered a fractured right fibula, struck in the shin on a comebacker in the third inning off the bat of Yuli Gurriel. He's going to be shut down for the rest of the series there. College football, Longhorns continue to prep for their trip to Waco on Saturday to face the 16th-ranked Baylor Bears. Dave Aranda's 6-1 squad built on a stout defense, and the Big 12's leading rushing attack under first-year offense coordinator Jeff Grimes. His wide or outside zone ranks 9th nationally in rushing yards at nearly 240 a game. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian knows the Horns have to play gap sound and be disciplined this Saturday.
They believe in the outside zone. They run it well. And the whole idea behind that scheme is, you know, when you get out of your gap, that's when the ball gets creased. And so it's going to be really critical for us this weekend in the run game to place, you know, really disciplined in our run fits. And then ultimately you got to defeat the block and make the tackle. So they stress you that way. I feel good about the guys at least recognizing last week where it got out of whack. And so better week last week of understanding it in practice, and then we got to get to it this week as we go.
Texas and Baylor, 11 a.m. this Saturday. You'll hear it right here on the Horn, of course. All three NBA teams in Texas in action last night. Mavericks beat the Rockets, 116-106. Luka had 26. Spurs lose in overtime to the L.A. Lakers at a sold-out AT&T Center last night, 125-111, or 121. Anthony Davis, 35. Russell Westbrook, 33. LeBron James did not play, was out with a sore right ankle.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
They certainly will. Also, this next guest on the Vaqueros Hotline will shoot us straight on Big Ten football. He is our friend Howard Griffith. Howard, how are you, bud?
I'm good, fellas. How about you guys?
We're doing fantastic, Griff. You know, Griff, I'm still 25 years later after coaching Ricky Williams. They're still trying to make me say that Ricky was my favorite, and knowing that you and Keith Jones, who went to play for the Atlanta, didn't he play for the Falcons for a couple years?
Falcons, yep.
Yeah, played for the Falcons. And of course, Henry Jones didn't play for me, but I loved Henry for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, just good people. And I'm still catching grief about not getting Ricky 10 yards in his freshman year for 1,000 yards. But when you needed your 8th touchdowns, I didn't hesitate, because people from the SID's office made sure they came down and said, hey, this dude needs another touchdown. I don't care what the score is. He'll break the Jim Brown's record. I had no problems in saying, get back in there, right?
Yeah, and McAvick was fully with it, because I said, I'm good. Cause that was Coach Smith on the other sideline, who had really done a lot for Illinois football. He was an offensive line coach.
And, that's right.
You know, we really had a great relationship, and My stance was, you know, we don't want to embarrass him. And McAvick looked at me and like, you're never going to get a shot like this again.
And I said, yeah, let's embarrass the hell out of him and get you 8 touchdowns. Let's
eight touchdowns in one game.
I said, let's do that. Forget about Coach Smith. He'll understand. He'll understand down the road sometime.
And he did. He understood right at the game because I apologized and he was like, oh, don't worry about that kind of stuff. It's all right. You deserve it.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Howard Griffith, what, 8 touchdowns. Who was the opponent in that day?
The Salukis.
Salukis?
Southern Illinois Salukis.
Oh, yep. Man, 8 touchdowns in one game. That's a career for a lot of folks. Howard, how are you? Go ahead.
I'm good. I didn't want to cut you off, but I can never finish that story without saying I was actually responsible for 9. This guy, Kevin Kilgallen, took the ball out of my hands and ran it the other way for a touchdown. So that's how my day got started.
There it is. That's right.
Oh, so you were a part of 9 TDs. 8 good ones and 1 bad one for Howard Griffith, which is great stuff.
Hey, listen, I know you don't want to talk about that, though. I'm sure you want to talk about Michigan State, right?
Yeah, well, let's hit that. I mean, that's the game of the week and one of the games of the year in college football. First and foremost, how surprised are you that both Michigan and Michigan State are undefeated right now? And how do you size up the matchup on Saturday in East Lansing?
Yeah, I would be the first to tell you that, you know, after watching Michigan State, I didn't think that they would be in a situation where they'd be undefeated at this particular point. Michigan looked pretty good, but we still had questions about what the defense was going to look like. Turns out the defense has been unbelievable for Michigan this year, really gone to the next level. But then the question was, well, they always start out like this, right? November, they have a lot of success. October, November, they have a bunch of success. I'm sorry, and then November hits and then everything gets the tank. So, you know, to have both of these teams undefeated, nationally ranked in the AP poll is really exciting. But we're going to learn a lot about both teams, obviously, this week, just where they are.
You know, Howard, the Michigan quarterback doesn't excite me still, but the running back does. Both running backs for both teams, Michigan State and Michigan, I think both of those guys, and especially this offensive line in Michigan, they're going to come downhill at Michigan State, and they're going to keep coming for 4 quarters at them. They're not going to give up on the run.
No, I don't think so. You're right. The quarterback doesn't get you excited. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They're also going to rotate J.J. McCarthy, who's a true freshman, 5-star quarterback, went to IMG, originally from Chicago. He's really the guy. But he's a true freshman, and he's probably still making a few mistakes. But they're going to get him involved, to have him involved in that game, to get him out on the perimeter, to help the run game. But you're right. This Michigan offensive line is playing really well. This is a group that's played a lot of football for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, and now the running backs in Quorum, these guys can make plays all day long. They have some guys out on the flanks, not really a lot of them that are going to get excited as far as Michigan State is concerned, though. They've got guys on the edge that can make big plays, not only in the passing game, but they make their yards also in the kick return game. Jaden Reed, I think, is going to be a big part of this game plan this week. He's a wide receiver, also one of their return guys. But you mentioned Henderson. Kenneth Walker. This guy's dynamic. Now, he was slowed down last week. I'm sorry, and you know the last game he played. So now there's a few questions there. But this is two games. This is two teams. I think it goes back to a little bit of old school football. Mel Tucker has instilled a real discipline and toughness into this team. And they're playing really well. This is going to be really an exciting game. It's going to be a lot of beyond the quarterback, Peyton Thorne, as well, for Michigan State to be able to make some of those big throws.
You know, Griff, Mel Tucker's name is mentioned an awful lot with this LSU job. Does Mel like where he is right now and wants to really get this thing going in Michigan State, or can you see him bailing out of there early?
Hey, listen, I think right now we have two coaches that, you know, names are mentioned with every job, and that's right now, Mel Tucker and James Franklin at Penn State. You know, they're being mentioned for everything. And I think when you look at Mel, this is the second year at Michigan State. Michigan State has given him all the resources he needs. Remember, he's a guy that's been at Alabama, so he knows what I like to talk about, the back room, you know, what the transfer portal should look like, what's going on at Georgia, all of these things, graphics, and all the things it really takes now to have a dynamic program. The stuff that people don't see, he understands that. Michigan State has given him all of that. But the challenge for Michigan State, and any time you have a coach that creates a turnaround like he has, people are going to want to talk to him because of what he's done. He's put Michigan State now back into the national spotlight, the national conversation, because of their rankings. And if they win this weekend versus Michigan, man, I only expect the conversation to continue. I don't know whether he'd look around, but the reality is, you know, nowadays these coaches have representation, and they're making deals in the back. But I know he's happy at Michigan State, but there are going to be other suitors that are going to call because it's just the way it is at this game.
You know, and for James Franklin, I mean, he's right there in Pennsylvania. He's, you know, born and bred right there. I mean, he's got it, but it's never enough at Penn State with this guy. You know, these ten win seasons aren't enough because he can't even win the Big Ten. He can't win a Big Ten championship, and so his name keeps coming up. But what really has James Franklin done except for win a bunch of 10-9 game seasons?
Yeah, but the challenge is, you mentioned it. It's Ohio State that's sitting there in the way. The 1 year that they probably had the opportunity to get there, the committee took Ohio State.
Yes.
You know, that's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, if you're a competitor, you're always going to be going, you know, looking for that opportunity. I'm not saying that Coach Franklin is looking for an opportunity to go other places, but people are going to, you know, throw your name around. And at some point, you know, you're going to want to go chase the ability to get that national championship. I'll never forget when John McAvich, when he left Illinois, and he truly felt that he could not compete for the national championship at Illinois. And
could never beat Michigan.
But he makes the move to Texas. Yeah. You know, you go to Texas because, okay, at that time, and still now, it's still one of the best jobs in America. So how could you possibly turn an opportunity like that down? So I see it when you're a top coach and you want to compete and you want to get to the top of the mountain, sometimes you may have to, you know, leave the place that you're at to get there.
Howard Griffith is with us. It's the Big Ten Network, and it's the Big Ten that takes center stage in college football this week with that Michigan-Michigan State game. Also, Penn State and Ohio State would have been a top-10 matchup, but the Nittany Lions lost to Illinois last week in 9 overtimes. Howard, to go back to Mel Tucker quickly, you know, it's similar to what we see with Dave Aranda here at Baylor, that you know, year one, when you take over during COVID, I mean, that was a mess for everybody, but certainly for a first-year coach and staff. But what have you seen Mel Tucker do to – you mentioned the dynamic program. What type of coach, though, as he gets ready for his first matchup with Jim Harbaugh, you know, what do you like about Mel Tucker and his team's chances to defend the home turf?
Before I answer that question, that is a great example, Dave Aranda. Because when I first met him when he was in Wisconsin, you knew he had something special. He's that kind of guy, when it comes to calling plays on the defensive side of the game, he really can affect the game. And we've seen that. We saw it at LSU. We're seeing it now. So he's having a great deal of success. Mel Tucker instills discipline, right? He's no nonsense. He understands the you know, what it takes to win on the defensive side. Remember, he's a defensive guy. He spent time with Nick Saban, he spent time with Kirby Smart, so he understands how to call plays, and he understands how to let his coordinators go coordinate, and he'd be the CEO. But I also remember there was a time he was talking to his video department. We were having a conversation, and he stops mid-sentence, sees his video person there, and says, listen, that was a good video, but what I need our alums, when they're sitting behind their desk in Detroit, to click on our video, and all of a sudden they stop doing their work for the next 10 to 15 minutes because they're so enamored and so excited about what we put together. That's Mel Tucker. That's who he is. He's going to manage everything. He knows exactly what he wants, and he's instilled the discipline in this team that really they're not, from a talent standpoint, they're not there. They still have a ways to go. So it's scary to think if he gets a couple of recruiting classes under his belt, where he's going to be. They'll have the opportunity because it's not going to be new for them. You know, they beat Michigan last year. It's a different style this year from a defensive standpoint. But if they can control the line of scrimmage and run the ball with Walker, man, Michigan's going to have their hands full. But they're also going to have to stop Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end, who's played a lot better this year now that he's in this system. So number 97 is going to get a lot of action. I think his name will get called a lot for the Michigan defense.
Speaking of actions, you know, we have Sark here, and one of the great play callers that was in college football with Alabama. But to me, the best play caller in college football is still the head coach now at Ohio State. That guy just still keeps getting it done. And Griff, I know playing Penn State, Penn State will be on a downer. They're missing three or four defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's going to get after them in the run game with their running backs, and they put the ball in the hands of this freshman. Ryan Day can still call plays. I think he's one of the premier play callers in the country when it comes to play calling. I think he's been that way for a long, long time.
Yeah, he's there. And the other scary part about that as well is Kevin Wilson, the tight end coach, really is the one that's kind of working the strings behind the scenes. And he had all of the success at Oklahoma when Oklahoma went on their run. But you're right, between Coach Day understanding with his team, what he needs to get out of his team, and Coach Wilson, they're really rolling. And, you know, their quarterback, Stroud, has gotten to a point now where the game has just slowed down for him. And that's funny to say for a first-year starter. But when you look at, you know, his wide receiver group, he's probably legitimately has 5 to 6 first-round draft picks in that room that he's having a chance to throw to. You entered the running back, Henderson, into that group. This offensive line is unbelievable. And then last week, you started to see the emergence of their tight end game, getting the ball to them. So what is the team going to do to try to slow them down? I have no idea, but it's going to be tough to do.
Yeah, they can really. If the defense comes along, that was the biggest problem against Oregon in their loss. Buckeyes probably still the most talented team and best team in the Big Ten. They'll get Penn State on Saturday. Howard, great to hear you. Glad you're doing well. Look forward to the weekend and future visits about this rough and tough Big Ten conference.
All right, fellas, have a great week.
You too, buddy.
I'm liking the idea of Mel Tucker at LSU, by the way. I still think that's my candidate. That's my guy.
So you don't think, I mean, that guy goes when the getting is good. If LSU calls you from
Michigan State, you go. He was at Georgia with Kirby, right? He was at Alabama with Kirby and Nick.
Man, you can't consistently win at Michigan State. You can't out-recruit Michigan, Ohio State.
Well, and if LSU calls and you can get back in the SEC.
Right.
Maybe he stays. Maybe it's James Franklin. I mean, the dominoes that I'm intrigued by, if James Franklin were to take LSU and then Luke Fickell moves from Cincinnati to Penn State.
Yes.
That's where Luke Fickell belongs, is right at Penn State.
Absolutely.
If he's not going to be long-term at Cincinnati, that would be a perfect fit, I believe. But we'll see. We'll follow it. Good games this weekend. Number 6 against number 8, Michigan to Michigan State at East Lansing. We'll have some picks on that game coming up on Friday and drill down on it. Also, Ohio State, Penn State, part of the college football weekend. Do like the Mel Tucker approach and the way he's doing things there. We'll come back when we do. Speaking of approach, speaking of hard-nosed dudes and intense guys, Chris Beard, head basketball coach at Texas. He is changing the culture with the Longhorns. We'll talk with him about where things stand a couple weeks out to the opener of the 2021-2022 season. That's coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Certainly is. B&E with you Wednesday. Got salacious gossip in your blitz for the top of the hour. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is the first-year head coach of the Texas basketball team and program. He is Chris Beard. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Coach, how are we doing? I know you can't talk about recruiting and individual recruits, but it feels like it's going pretty well right now. Can you enlighten us on why one of your assistant coaches was jumping out of an airplane this week on a video that I saw?
Yeah, exactly. Can't talk specifically about that, but we've had some really, really good days. Some days where a lot of work finally came together for us. Some days where our program got better.
And so with the skydiving thing, was that can you even address that at all, or what was going on there?
You know, I tell our guys all the time, like, to me, kind of the simplicity of life is trying to, you know, I think a lot of people really don't know what they want. I think elite people can really describe it. Hey, here's what I want. Then even more importantly, once you decide what you want, you know, what are you willing to do to get it? And, you know, there's another kind of category of people, I think, in this world that know what they want, but they're not willing to do what it takes. But I would put Yurik in that kind of 1% category. Yurik knows what he's trying to get done, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to get it done.
Yeah, get it done. That's you need to come back here, and it needs to be done, Coach. That's what it's all about. And by the way, thank you for getting us your strength and conditioning coach. He had some stories to tell us that were fantastic. You were right. Very interesting young man. And I don't know if he's that young anymore, but boy, he had some great stories growing up and being around you and getting to the place where he wanted to get with he and his family for sure. Thank you very much.
I appreciate y'all taking the time to talk to John. He's special, man. I think there'll be like a 30 for 30 on that dude one day. He just His story is tremendous. He's got a lot of pride on being back at the University of Texas. As I'm sure he told you guys, he started with Mad Dog and those guys.
Yep.
He's got orange blood in him, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he was tremendous. John Riley, the strength and conditioning coach, the defender of the culture, he called himself, coach, and your culture is being built. Give us an update on the team. Obviously, you got an exhibition game coming up next week we'll tell folks about. You've got the opener on November the 9th, and we know it's a lot of new players, not a new faces. How is that going for you? You feel like the chemistry's coming together like you want it to be?
Yeah, we're still definitely a work in progress. You know, we have some days where you walk off the floor and you think, hey, we could play with anybody in the country. We've got some other days where we walk off the floor and I think we feel the urgency that, you know, we don't have a lot of time left to put this together. So, but I think urgency is a good word. You know, I think when teams get uncomfortable, when players get kind of uncomfortable, and urgency is a form of that, that's where growth happens. But it's a big time for us right now. We're a few days away from our exhibition game on Monday. Which anybody listening this morning, you know, it's free to get in the game, general admission. It's really our first, active action of uniting the family. We've got Mike Wacker coming back in with his team. You know, Coach Wacker is one of the all-time great players to ever play at the University of Texas. Many people know the history like I do. Some might not, but Coach Wacker was arguably the best player in college basketball and on one of Coach Lemons' teams, and I think Texas was set to be the number one team in the country, and Coach went down with an injury that year. But that was kind of always the team that could have been, I think, in the history of Texas basketball. So to bring Coach Wacker back, he's currently the head coach at Texas Lutheran in Seguin right down the road. I think it's going to be a special night for a lot of reasons. Then, of course, a few days later, on November 9th, we start the season. So a lot of things coming up, and we're excited about it.
Coach, you know, we've been talking an awful lot, with the football team and fatigue and fourth quarters and what you have to do. You still have to stay the course. When you're at your tiredest, that's when you got to really bear down. Now, in high school, I was just close to a 70% free throw shooter, and that was when I got fatigue. I was at my worst when you're on the free throw line. You have some veteran players from other programs, and that they know about fatigue. It's going to be the way you play defense. It's going to be fatigue time. How do you expect your guys? I mean, would my 70% work if I was good at something else with you? Would 70% be good enough as a guard?
How many rebounds can we get with that 70% free throw shooter?
Maybe two to bounce off of somebody's hand, two or three maybe, in the course of a game.
Are you a really good guy and healthy in our locker room?
I'm a great locker room guy for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can find a spot for you, Coach.
Okay. All right. I just wondered, is 70% going to work for you? How are your guys shooting those free throws? Because that fatigue factor sets in, and that's when you really have to dig down deep.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. You know, I think there's like three types of free throw shooters. You know, it's what you can shoot in pressure situations. It's what you can shoot, you know, in the last minute of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you can shoot when the game's on the line. So we try to create a lot of pressure free throws, both in practice and throughout the day and in individual workouts. Obviously, the difference between a great season and a good season is, you know, four or five games are going to come down to one of our players being on the line late in the game, making those. I tell the guys all the time, like, you can't control every shot, right? Like, the best shooters that ever played our game make 9 out of 10. But I think what you can prepare is your preparation. You can prepare your confidence. Confidence comes through preparation, in my opinion. So we spend a lot of time just kind of visualizing those moments that we know are coming. And when those moments happen, you know, being happy to be in those moments, wanting to be in those moments,
right,
instead of kind of panicking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the elite execution in critical times is going to be big, certainly in every sport, certainly in basketball. Coach, you had an open practice for the student body recently, which was kind of cool when you got back from Big 12 football media days. I know your engagement with the student body outside of your own team is one of your top priorities. How did that go? And for the players, having some fellow students on hand to watch practice, how was that event?
Yeah, it went great. It really did. You know, it gives us a starting point of where to go from here, and it was a nice starting point. You know, Lauren is our director of basketball marketing, along with so many other talented people in the athletic department. But Lauren came with us; it's her first season. We hired her from the University of Florida, and really, it's just nice to have one person that's working basketball pretty much nonstop. She helps out with some different sporting events from time to time, but more than that, her focus is basketball. I think we're already showing the benefit of that. Open practice was great. Plus, you know, it's that time of year where the guys are kind of tired of banging on each other. It's time to find somebody else to play. And just things like bringing the students in that night kind of changes the environment a little bit. I think that's good right now because we're definitely in that rut right now where, you know, it's time to play somebody else.
Yeah, they do get tired of hitting each other, don't they? There's enough guys throwing elbows and everything else at each other. And I know that's one of your deals, too. You've got to control all of that stuff when guys get frustrated after seeing each other for so long and they're ready to see an opponent. But that time will come, right?
Yes, Coach. We got a, you know, a little bit of that going down. But I always tell the guys that I'd much rather kind of turn down the heat a little bit than try to turn it up. You know, mm-hmm. I think if you're adjusting the volume up, you got no chance. But if you're adjusting the volume, you know, down, especially with veteran players, you can kind of tame some of that stuff. We've had some good, you know, face-to-face battles in practice so far, and I think that's healthy. We have a competitive veteran team. You know, things are going to get chippy from time to time, and I don't apologize to anybody for that.
Yeah, chippy and intense is key. How are the leaders evolving? Obviously, this is an interesting roster. You got the four holdovers from previous years that we all know. The newcomers are there. How do you feel like you know, the leadership chain of command is developing in your locker room?
It's coming well. You know, I think to me, a couple things in leadership. One, you know, you got to have followers to have a leader. And, you know, to me, if you got a locker room there where everybody thinks they're the captain, that's not working. So I've been really pleased and kind of excited about where we're at in terms of that, because everybody on our team, from our, you know, from our best player to our freshman walk-on, everybody has shown the willingness to be a follower. And I think that's big, because if you're going to have leadership, you got to have some guys that want to be led. I also think leadership, you know, I mean, it's, you got to get out there and do the job. You know, it's one thing to say all the right things, but you got to do your job and you got to be accountable. And I think until the lights come on and we start playing games, you know, it's kind of a gray area there. But I think as our season gets started, you know, the players that are doing their job, the players that are doing well, it gives them a platform to be a leader.
Coach, how do you – I mean, you had your media day. How do you feel about the conference, what this conference is going to be like when the start comes? I know it's one game at a time and it's a couple non-conference games, but what did you talk about this Big 12 conference?
I think it's another year in the league. You know, somebody, an NBA scout, told me something yesterday. It's amazing. I think there's something like 15 players on NBA rosters right now that were in the Big 12 last year. And there were several players in the league that could have left early. So you start thinking about that, a 10-team league, you know, with 15 players in the NBA, that's just crazy. So the talent's always going to be here. I think, you know, I think the polls and the votes and all that, a lot of times it comes down to, like, you know, who's coming back on teams or what happened in recruiting. But the bottom line is, right now, today, at this minute, all 10 teams, you know, are set up to be NCAA tournament teams. No doubt about that. It's the Big 12. So it'll be another year of the grind. It'll be another year of a lot of, you know, balance in the league. We look forward to the challenge.
Competitive for sure. And as a coach, as you are, I mean, this conference, I mean, there is no week off, man. There's no day off. You're seeing the best of the best. You got a national champion up in Waco defending. You got Bill Self at Kansas. I mean, it's every day. I mean, that's the beauty of this conference with 10 teams and everybody plays each other twice. It's as good as it gets for the coaching side of things too, Coach, for the X's and O's and having your team ready to play every night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The different levels I've coached over the years, you know, from time to time, there's been a game that, you know, you can kind of go into and feel like you know, you might have an edge down the stretch, you know, in terms of preparation or coaching, but, you know, that is not the case in the Big 12. I mean, every night when the game starts, you know, your players are going to have to perform and you're going to have to win a close game at the end. And the coaching in this league kind of speaks for itself. You know, you guys mentioned that media days, but, you know, this whole SEC deal kind of looms too. It's kind of a different feel at that deal. They got the 10 coaches and they put us together for a picture. They put me kind of on one corner, and they put Porter from Oklahoma on the other corner. I'm not so sure they weren't zooming in on the other eight. So there's some real – I just mentioned that to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and including our fan base. So I think our teams are going to need tremendous support this year, because there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you deny it, I just think you're living in a different world. I mean, it's a different beast right now when you're playing for Texas with – with this SEC deal going on. That's why I have a lot of respect for what's going on with soccer right now, their winning streak, certainly volleyball being the number one team in the country. And football's right there, right? I mean, guys, you're two possessions away from being probably a top five team right now. And but this year, our players, what they're going to have to go through is for so many different reasons. It's real. And we're talking a lot to our players about that right now. Embracing the hate is our terminology.
And of course, Coach, the beautiful Moody Center that's being, you know, finished up and still, you know, to play there. But you're not going to be playing there until next year. So this Irwin Center needs to be packed. And there needs to be some excitement coming out of the drum also.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that. We definitely, the future is exciting. We all know that. You drive down I-35 and you know, you glance over and you see the best venue, I think, in the world, really, for live music and for basketball. But that's a year away. Let's talk about right now. And right now, it's the last year, you know, in the historic Irwin Center. There's been so many things in the Irwin Center, not just basketball, right? I think about the state tournament. Think about some of the things over the years and the people that have performed in this building, both basketball and non-basketball. So we really just going to try to set this thing up this year to celebrate the last year in the Irwin Center and Frank Irwin's family and all the people that went into making this building possible. And we're excited to do that, again, beginning on Monday when Mike Wacker comes in. But I hope it's just a great year to celebrate the Irwin Center. It's been a lot of great times in this building.
Yeah, Coach has mentioned it a couple times. This Monday, an open-to-the-public exhibition game against Texas Lutheran. That'll be at 7:30. It's free admission. Somebody asked if they're going to have concessions. I'm assuming, Coach, they'll have some concession stands open for that event.
Yeah, something about a happy hour pricing all game is what
yeah.
I heard.
Come on.
When I hear happy hour, I think, you know, 50-cent draft at Holiday Inn. But I think the happy hour is still you better bring $6 or $7. But it's better than non-happy hour, I tell you that.
That's
it
for
certainly
sure.
Is. And it's free to get in. No price admission for the public to come on out that. Students, of course. And I saw where your season ticket sales are close to our new record, 8,500 season tickets as of this morning. That's just 400 shy of an all-time record. Maybe this morning we can push some folks into that and get that up over the all-time mark and get over 9,000, Coach.
Yeah, super proud and appreciative of Longhorn Nation, our fan base. I'm hoping some people will come out and take advantage of the free exhibition game. That'll kind of spur them on to buy season tickets this year. You know, a couple things. There's a lot of really affordable seats in the Irwin Center this year, like $99 to get you into games all year long. And then also kind of looking ahead, you've got to be a season ticket holder in the Irwin Center, you know, to have a chance to get into the game at the Moody coming up. So I would just encourage anybody out there. I know we have a lot of really good, loyal fans that come to many games every year just kind of on individual tickets. And I would just encourage them to consider buying season tickets because it'll set it up for them year two in the Moody much, much better. But we're just a few hundred away from an all-time program record. And you think about us being kind of a first-year team, first-year coach, that's kind of humbling. I mean, we're really excited what our fan base is doing already, and we're going to step up for them and return the favor. I promise that.
Yeah, no doubt. And we look forward to our visits when the season begins, Coach, on a weekly basis to watch this team and learn from you on how it grows and evolves together. And we certainly appreciate the visit this morning, and thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Talk to y'all soon.
All right, Chris Beard. Not going to sell this program. You know, when you listen to Coach Beardbuck, you hear so many influences in his coaching career.
Absolutely.
Bob, the intensity of a Bob Knight. But, you know, Tom Penders, I meant to ask him about the Hall of Honor celebration they had a couple weeks ago. When
Coach
Tom
Black.
Penders, yeah, Coach Leon Black, Coach Penders. But Coach Penders was the best. We've done this a long time, Buck. He was the best at selling the program, right? He would, if you needed him to speak at your Boy Scout troop, he would, man. He would get
Absolutely,
out and sell his
yeah.
program. And Chris Beard certainly is of that ilk. I mean, I love the idea of an open.
And jump out of that plane. Yeah, just get it done.
Yeah, that story was his top assistant, or one of his top assistants, Orrick Maligi, jumped out of an airplane. And it appears, Chris couldn't really address it, but it tied to the five-star commitment they got this week. That man of his word kind of thing, that he, you know, commit to Texas, I'll jump out of an airplane kind of deal.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But to no ends to get the top player. So those are your opportunities. There's an open exhibition game against Mike Wacker and his Texas Lutheran team that coming up on Monday at 7:30. Happy hour pricing as well. And the The season opener, November the 9th, will be a doubleheader, women at 5:30 with Vic Schaefer and his squad, and then 30 minutes on the clock for the men to play at 8 o'clock against Houston Baptist. And how about this, Buck? All tickets, $10 for general admission for both games on that doubleheader, men and women, on November the 9th.
On the opener.
And let's go ahead and get that thing up over 9,000 season tickets. How about that? We're at 8,500 as of this morning. That's 400 shy of the all-time mark. I think this show, the show of the people, can push that.
Come on, let's go.
What did he say? You get all games for $99?
Yeah, all the home games for $99, yes.
Sweet.
I like that.
I also like the open practice with the student body in there. That was pretty cool, too. All right, Texas foot basketball on the brain. We got football as well. We'll dive back into Coach Sarkisian and the Longhorns.
And he said that if I was a good guy in the locker room, my 70% would be okay.
Seven out of ten.
I said close to 70.
Yeah, but how often are you going to
the... I was more in the 60s than I was the 70s.
How often are you going to the line, though? Are you just standing out there?
I was a guard. I went to the line a lot.
Well, that's right. Are you just standing out there chucking it from the cheap seats, or are you getting to the line? Are you going to the hole?
No, I was going to the hole and getting it rejected and laying on the floor up against the wall, up against the bleachers.
Flopping?
At Bethlehem Catholic, yes. But I'd be exhausted, and I'd go to that line, and that thing would go clunk, clunk.
All right, so we appreciate
that. I was more of the 60%, the high 60 percentile.
Absolutely.
Hey, than the high 70s.
Make a note that starting the week of November 9th, we'll have Coach Beard every Thursday at 8:25. Today's on Wednesday because he's got a recruiting trip tomorrow morning. But every Thursday during the basketball season, you'll hear Coach Beard on this show talking about his team. So we'll get to see the games and then talk about how this team develops.
Say, your pops would sit me down for that. I wouldn't be playing guard at 60-some percent, right?
Yeah, you want to get any clock with CeCe.
No.
Not much.
That's not good enough.
Guard's got to be 75-80%. You got the ball in your hand a lot.
Damn.
Yeah, you're the facilitator, my friend. We'll be back when we do. Hey, load up the blitz, as Coach said. Bring the intensity.
Yes.
Bring it every day. It's only as good as you make it. It's coming next.
Where you get that from? Did someone tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, no games, just the gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light. All the fun and tomfoolery you can handle. Brought to you by the number one selling light beer in the world. World's favorite light beer is Bud Light each and every time. Whether you're watching the Astros in the World Series or you're a Braves fan, doesn't matter. Tip it back with an ice cold Bud Light. NFL week opens tomorrow night with a good one. Packers and Cardinals from the desert. That's a good Bud Light opportunity as well. The live music the weekend. Tom Gimbel will help us that next hour. That also is a good Bud Light opportunity. They've got... Thursday night, Buck, we'll talk to Tom next hour, but the ACL Austin Sea Limits Television Show Hall of Fame induction is coming up tomorrow night. Tomorrow night down at Moody Center. We'll get some details on that. That's a good Bud Light opportunity right there. Hey, Buck, you know, one of the stories of the week has been Tom Brady and his 600th touchdown.
And that ball.
And the ball that he gave back.
And Zay looking for a money grubber.
Well, this dude's continuing to cash in. Got to mention that the guy, Brian, whatever his name is, who Mike Evans handed him the ball.
Right.
And then he could have kept it, and it was worth $500,000. Tom Brady gave him some crypto and some jerseys and some stuff. But
how about this? And a helmet.
Rob Gronkowski and a guy named Mojo Mutati are now hooking up to give the dude $30,000 more in cryptocurrency. You want in on some cryptocurrency?
No, you just give me another helmet.
No, you want the crypto. That's an investment that could value and likely will value.
And likely will eventually go down to nothing.
Then it'll go back up.
Okay. I'll take two signed balls. I want the inflated balls. That's what I want.
Well, the crypto is probably better than cash right now, the way we're printing money. You know what I'm saying?
So are those two balls.
Trillions here, trillions there.
So are that helmet, signed Tom Brady helmet.
Signed Tom Brady helmet.
Yes.
Speaking of lots of money, I give credit to the founder and owner of the product Spanx. You ever heard of those? Spanx?
Those are the ladies wear?
It's like a modern-day girdle for women, right? The Spanx that like hug it all in there.
Yeah, bring it all together.
It's like a sausage casing.
Sure, and then drops it all apart.
But they've done well. So the founder of Spanx just sold
fake advertising.
No, it's true, though. She sold her majority stake in the company to a big investment firm, and she cashed in, right? Just cashed in, which is what she should do, and, you know, good for her, you know, USA, USA.
Absolutely.
Make your fortune. Well, she has now given every employee, and with her windfall, she has given every one of her employees 2 first-class plane tickets to anywhere in the world, plus $10,000 in spending cash.
That's awesome.
For all of the employees.
A little too much there, Zay, isn't it?
Yeah, so
too generous.
Yeah, they keep catfishing men everywhere. way too much.
What? Oh, were Spanx there, catfishing?
Yes. I've been catfished plenty of times by the Spanx.
Thinking that
before I was married.
Thinking it's all in there, but it's not. Once that thing opens up,
are you
it's
telling
going
me
this, all different
does it come
directions.
Out like when you open up the biscuit?
Yeah, like the biscuit.
The biscuit?
Like cookie dough. Like cookie dough.
You just it, like that.
Just when you hit it on the side of the table, it all goes.
Yeah, you're everywhere. On 6th Street. You think you hit big with a bootleg Meg Thee Stallion. You come home, she looked like Queen Latifah.
Oh,
wow. Wow. Are you saying Queen Latifah has rounded shoulders and back?
Hey.
I love Queen Latifah, but cookie I want to know I'm going for Queen Latifah.
You want to know that first?
Yes.
False advertising.
I'd like to know beforehand, please.
False advertising. I see what you're doing there. You're just jamming it all in there and then pops open.
Not supposed to see that pop. It's not supposed to open up like that, right?
Not like that.
Not like that.
Not like like butter.
You like that, Kirk Cousins?
Butter.
Hey, how about one more from Tom Brady? Can you hear, this is what Tom Brady posted after his 600th touchdown and the win over the Bears on Sunday.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. Hope you guys are having a great day. What a game yesterday. The defense gave up 3 points. The O-line played great. The running backs were on fire. Mike had 3 tutties. And we're 6-1. Here we go. Headed to New Orleans on Halloween night. It's going to be a huge game. Going to be a great week. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Tutties. Give me the tutties.
Zay still thinks he should have been giving up at least 100 Gs.
Give me those tutties.
No, let's, man.
I like that. He didn't even mention himself in 602 touchdowns. And he said everybody else played good.
Yeah.
I'm just along for the ride here. Let's hit your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, and any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, dude, why are you trying to talk your way onto the basketball team when you know nobody cares about basketball around here?
Wait a minute. This has changed. Things are changing.
We're about
up
to
in
break
here.
A record for basketball season tickets.
That's right. So go get your tickets. Next blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, neither, dumbass Aggies. Hey, my neighbor got these mules, and he said, come over and check out this one mule. I went over there, and he was going, wee, wee. I looked at that mule, and I went, where's he? He jumped up, started donkey dancing, banged all the other mules.
No.
He started donkey dancing. That's great. Was he doing it for TikTok?
Mules are great animals.
Like Patrick Mahomes' brother?
Donkeys are a pain in the butt, but mules are great animals.
Yeah. Next blitzer, you're up.
Bucket E.
What's up?
Hey, today at my job, it's Employee Appreciation Day.
Yes.
And they taking us to Acton class. I say, man, that's like putting a brother on a hockey team knowing he gets a hit and don't go to jail.
No, you know what they like for you guys to do for Workers' Appreciation Day? Come to work. Next blitzer, you're up.
I got to say, Griff is such a cool dude. He's the reason why I watch the Big Ten Network on Sunday mornings.
Griff. Yeah, thank you very much, Sal. Next blitzer, you're up.
This is Roberto Kraft, Mr. Slam Bam. Just like the Buck in the 70s, we're always about attacking the hole. Or as Ms. Lulu says, never stop attacking the D.
Never, never, never. Keep going. Go strong. Or don't go at all. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, hey, fat girls need loving too.
Just advertise properly is all Zay is saying, I believe.
Yes. Don't cheat the brand. Next blitzer, you're up.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Great.
Hey, who's Texas got this weekend?
Baylor.
Baylor.
Oh, 50% gas, 50% sharks, huh?
All gas.
No brakes. Next blitzer, you're up.
You know, I'm seriously offended by all three of you. You all need sensitivity training. This is Alec Baldwin.
Oh, wow. Too soon.
Do we need training?
Too soon.
Already? Next blitzer, you're up.
Man, with these Spanx and these wigs, you think you coming home with Meg Thee Stallion, but you come in with Miss Piggy or Wimpy from Popeye's.
Wow. Need to get my Popeye's. Need to get my sauce. Hottie sauce.
Couple more.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Will. Kearney? Yeah. Hey, Texas Tech fans and administration, pick who you want. I like Dykes.
Sonny, that would be. Next blitzer, you're up.
I'm hoping it's Sonny Dykes.
Hey,
if you can't beat Baylor, you better remember the Alamo. And that was Aaron Hogan's mule.
I didn't have a mule. Well, I worked with mules, but yes.
Yes. Next Blitzer, you're up.
I like mules.
Yo, Chip Gaines running his mouth. He's certain that Baylor's going to win. How about a bet, Chip? Your wife for a date.
Oh, no. Don't go Romo.
Just get some of that furniture.
She's not a piece of property.
That's right. Get some of that property.
She's
like
the brains of the operation there, Chip and JoJo.
That furniture. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Free entry and discounted beer. I'll be there.
This is Vince Young.
No. Oh! You people are ruthless.
Shut it down! Oh, no! Let's go home!
You gotta have.
They are so mean.
Higher standards.
Not really. That was great. Absolutely great.
Hey,
the meaner, the better.
Looks like a team previously mentioned as a suitor for a Deshaun Watson trade is not. Details coming. Also, are the Miami Dolphins about to acquire the Houston Texans quarterback? We'll get back into that. World Series Game 1. Braves, jump early, jump often, and take the Astros.
Mike Tomlin to LSU, maybe that.
Mike Tomlin, never say never, but never.
Never.
We'll be back. We'll let you hear from Mike Tomlin. Also, the other top stories of a Wednesday. Over the Hump Wednesday on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn App and at hornfm.com.
Now is the perfect time for a new RV from